If I was to ask you to name your dream prize draw in a dream raffle, a luxury camp in Kenya overlooking the Masai Mara Serengeti might not fall far short of the mark. Art, kite flying, guided walks, scent making and yoga are de rigueur, but by no means compulsory in the paradise that is Mara Pure, the heavenly creation of Anthony Russell, who joins me now from Nairobi. Anthony, hi.
Hi.
And Anthony, hello. And very nice to have you on the program. And thank you very much for coming on at short notice. I gather you've just landed from an aeroplane, just gotten out of an aeroplane in Nairobi.
Yes, yes. I just got back from the north of Kenya and I just dropped into Nairobi.
Great. Let's talk about Mara Pure and give us a sense of the place and how it came to be.
Okay, so it's a tented camp and we sit atop an escarpment overlooking the Masai Mara in Kenya and the Serengeti in Tanzania. The way it came to be was I wanted to have a private place where I could do my art safaris. And it started like that and blossomed into what it is today. That was about 2 years ago. And what it is, it really is just a beautiful, beautiful place to chill out and overlook this amazing African scenery. But it's also a deeper story where the community are involved. So we engage 90% of our staff are all local lads from the community, all Maasai.
So, African scenery, I'm imagining herds of wildebeest across the plain and lions. And I mean, is it wildlife central?
Yes, in season, you know, August is the migration that comes in, the wildebeest migration from Tanzania. And it comes all the way through to us, underneath us, in fact. And when they leave, then we still have remnants of elephant and buffalo, and you hear lion roaring at night. We're set in a kind of a forest and we overlook that and hear quite a lot of stuff at night. Leopard, lion, it's pretty exciting. And it's, yes, you see all the game below you.
Do you fear for the wildlife? How is it doing?
Well, especially in the Mara, it's probably one of the highlights of a safari you can go on, because you've got everything there and you can go and see what they call the big five in a day. So you can see your rhino, your buffalo, your lion, your leopard, your elephant. It is thriving and booming because of this flux and flow between Serengeti Park in Tanzania and the Masai Mara. And the Masai Mara is around 500 square kilometers, while the Serengeti is about 15,000 square kilometers.
So there's a transmigration between the two parks.
Yeah, that's right. It comes in from Serengeti in August, July, August, stays with us until September, because we're at the top. Consider it like an iceberg. Mm-hmm. Come into the Mara and then go all the way down into the Serengeti. They're cyclic, so they'll follow the rain. And so they'll come into where we are, in Kenya, in the Masai Mara, in that season, and then they go out again.
Anthony, give us a sense of your connection with Kenya.
Okay, so my parents came out here from UK, and they sorted out luxury private canvas camping. And I grew up in Nairobi. I was born in Nairobi. I'm a British guy, but I'm actually Kenyan as well. And so I got very, very deep connections with Kenya. I speak three or four of the languages here, and I grew up here. I've obviously bounced around all over the place. I'm a designer, architect, and I'm also an artist.
Yes, and much of your publicity, which is a really impressive website, and I'll get that from you before the end of this conversation so people can look at it.
Sure.
It features some quite extraordinary works of art that I presume are yours.
Yes, what it is, it's photographical work of mine taken over the last 20 years, and it's I embellish that with the love and the passion of Africa. So it's artifacts and paintworks over top. And then that is framed and sold. And I have a gallery in Nairobi where quite a few international people and national people come and buy art. So it's become a part of that process of the art, and the proceeds will go and does go into the community Mara Pura and conservation. My passion is to be able to conserve some land with the community, because it's community land out there where I am, and make sure we have a buffer zone between the rural areas behind me and the wild areas in the front. So that's basically what my motto is.
Yeah, so it's a interesting, yeah. Interesting definition that between rural and wild. So the wild, the rural areas presumably are farmed. How are they farmed? What form does the agriculture take?
So the on the front it's wild, so it's untouched land. It's just for wildlife. And then back behind us,
and
rural,
sorry to interrupt you, but that's protected as such. The rural land cannot encroach on the wild land. Is that correct?
Yes, but there is a strip on the top where I am, which is not protected, and we are aiming at protecting that strip of land. Mm-hmm. For example, where the camp is, we've got 600 acres around there, and then we have other neighbours around us that have the same philosophy, and we are joining up all these areas here and paying for the lease to the local Maasai landlords in order to conserve the front as being wild. Now, when you go to the back, which is a kilometer behind us, it's very rural. We have got two tribes, the landowners of the Maasai and the farmers of Kipsigis. Mm-hmm. And the Kipsigis farm the land for the Maasai, and they pay that sort of like a lease for that, and part profit of the whatever they're going to grow, which is maize, sweet corn, potatoes, stuff like that. It's very, very fertile. We're at 7,000 feet, and they have a very, very good relationship together.
And the Mara Pura is part of the local community is engaged in tree planting, beekeeping, wildfowl breeding. That sounds tremendous, and that is largely rural, isn't it? It's your participation in that rural land.
Yes, correct. I mean, that what we do is through some other donors who have come in, some friends of mine, is that they would come in and give the, it's actually a women's group, and give out goats, give out sheep, give out honey hives. And the idea and the philosophy is once you've made it, pass one on. So it's a pass one on to your neighbor so that we can grow and encourage the commercial side of conservation and community.
So if I'm coming to Mara Pura as a punter, as a holidaymaker, what can I expect?
Okay, the first thing you can expect is a lot of people that just drive through and down to the escarpment on the drop of us go, wow. You just look at that view, and a lot of people go, oh my God, look at that. They never expect it. And you can see endless, endless thousands of kilometers of wilderness right in front of you.
Wow.
So it's a tented camp. It's very, very comfortable. Other people have said it's quite sexy. You've probably seen the pictures. And we have a staff of 14 there, all Maasai, all trained up. And we have first-class food, and we have great service, and we have great views. And then we have activities, which is kite flying, seed balling, which is seeds, caseous seeds that you can catapult off the edge, have fun, kiting with the kids. You want to go and see the local community and how they live. We'll take you to a manyata, which is a Maasai homestead, and you can go in there and you can actually milk a cow. You also walk with the Maasai. This is their land. They understand it, and they will look after you because they're very, very protective. And so you would go for the walks. And then the other thing is we do a line of scent. I have my own line of scent making from wood. And from wood, you would see what kind of a scent you would like. And then we put that together with you and teach you with my manager. And then I, on top of that, would come in and do the artwork. Now, the artwork are prints of mine, 30 by 20 inches or so. And you choose which one you want, and then I mentor you through a process of putting the mixed media on top. When that's done, dry time is then done, You can either take that with you or we ship it to you, and it's part of the process.
Yeah, and I've seen the art, and it's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. On your website. Now, just rewind, Anthony. You said a couple of things there that I don't understand. Seed balling?
Yeah, so seed balls. It's a seed that's encapsulated in charcoal, and it's a round ball, and you catapult it all over the place. So you can drop it by air, you can do anything you want with it, and it goes into the ground, and it germinates, and it creates an acacia tree. So it's a part of a reforestation program, but it's very big in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take that ball, and for the kids, you just get in the catapult and throw it off and, you know, catapult it off the edge or around the area,
mm-hmm.
wherever you want. If you go on a game drive, take a bag with you, throw it outside. And invariably, you then find in 3 or 4 years' time, the saplings come up and you've got acacia trees.
Wow. So you don't have to plant the seeds. You just throw a small grenade of seeds out.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Literally, yeah. You can have a lot of fun with it. And it's great fun. You know what I mean? Just catapulting that off. Even the kids love it, but the adults say, hang on, let me have a go. And they have a go with it and they love it.
Wow. And you really do see results. I mean, I'm a tree man by profession, and I've spent many a hard afternoon planting. But this sounds great.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to pick you up on was oud. What is oud?
Yeah. Okay. Oud is there's a certain tree called the oud tree, and most of that's in Pakistan. And when they get an infection, they would. Where the infection is like a wound on a tree, they would then seal that with its own resin, and that is collected. It's a very, very, very well known base for perfumes mm-hmm. in the East. And so I've got the original oud, because now you also got stuff that's been made, which isn't as good as the original. So I've got that in an oil form, and then I've got plants from the local area that smell like lime or lemon or raspberry, and we've extracted the oil from that, and then that then you mix as a punter or a client, you like that scent, and we put it together, drop here, drop there, drop here, drop there, till you come up with something you really like, and it's a bottle of that given to you, and that's your very own scent that you make at Mara Pure Camp.
A wonderful memento. Anthony, if we want to look at Mara Pure, can you give us the website, please?
Okay, so what we've done, we're sort of anti-branding. We are quite high profile. And I am currently doing a one-pager at the moment. I've just had a photographer down there. And then once that is ready, I will give that to you. I've sent Jeff a load of images, though. And if you want to give me your WhatsApp or whatever, I can send you that and videos of Mara Pure. But Jeff has all that. So we are not officially branded as Mara Pure yet, but we will have a one-pager out.
Okay. I guess the point I'm coming to is that you have very kindly offered 2 nights and 2 days at Mara Pure to the winner of a local raffle that's happening here on the Costa del Sol.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Thank you very much. I'll be giving those details in a moment. But in the meantime, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much also for the call, and we'll see you later.
Yeah, I'm going to go for that raffle as well. So you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Some of those seed balls around.
Brilliant. Yeah, Anthony Russell from Mara Pure, thank you so much, and a very good day to you.
Thank you too. Welcome. Bye.
Anthony Russell from Mara Pure in Kenya. Now, it just so happens that the Mara Pure experience might be closer than you think, because on Saturday, the 23rd of March, a raffle will take place at the Lend a Hand Galcin Spring Festival in the Plaza Galcin Malaga in aid of Médecins Sans Frontières. Anthony's offering a 2-night stay at Mara Pure, and that's just one of the wonderful prizes on offer from 11 o'clock that day. So that's Saturday, the 23rd of March, in the Plaza of Galcín. There's a plant sale, so you can pep up your garden with lots of spring plants. There's cava and other drinks, paella, Belgian crepes and waffles, an auction as well as a raffle, an Easter bonnet competition. So wear your Easter headgear. A live music featuring the Alpha Dogs and the Galcín International Choir. That's all happening on the 23rd of November. March. Get it right, Kit. 23rd of March in Galcín. So I'll be giving you a reminder of that a little bit later on.